Are you ready? All right, let me give you this very quickly. It's very, very important. You see, the principle of the tithing came from the beginning. It was there in the beginning. It's so important that you catch this for yourself as an individual. The principle of the tithe came from the beginning. Now, the first man who, I believe, made it a tent, which is the tithe, I believe is Abraham. But the principle behind it was there from the beginning. Now, again, the tithe means one tenth of everything that God blesses you with. Whatever God blesses you with, one tenth of it belongs to God. But I said the principle of it was given from the very beginning. Will you turn to Genesis, chapter number 3? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should have everlasting life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should never die but have everlasting life. Genesis chapter number 3. I want to read. I think I should give you in two parts. All right. Okay. Let's take it from chapter 2 first, so we'll just get there. From verse 7. Have you found it? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. He made man, he created man. And the Bible says, God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and then he put the man whom he had formed right in the Garden of Eden. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. What? Every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also. The tree of life also. In the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God made all these trees to grow. Notice, every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God did all of that. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He was to take charge of it. 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of watch it now." Hey, tell somebody close to you, watch it now. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat of every tree." And we understand that right there, you got trees that were pleasant to the sight and good for food, including two other trees. One of them was the tree of life, that a man may eat and not die. And then the other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And watch what man does here. Well, 16, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You don't have to ask for permission, just freely eat any one of them. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God said to Adam, of every tree in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the midst of the garden, don't eat of it. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God gave him everything. The Bible says God gave him dominion over the fowls of the earth, over the beasts of the field, over the fish in the water, and every tree except one. God said, don't eat of it. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. Why? The Bible lets us know that God loved man that he had made. And he saw that what he had made was very good. And every time you love somebody, you also, because love not only gives, it has the capacity to receive. It may not demand, but it opens up to receive. You must reciprocate love. Otherwise, you quench love. So love gives and receives. And so, in God's love, he gave man everything. And then he says, there's one thing I give to you, but give it back to me. Don't eat of it. It's mine. He's got to command him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word. Keep my commandment. If you love me, the proof of your love is keeping his word. Now, he loves man. He's given man everything. And he says, you reciprocate this love. If you love me, keep my commandment. Don't eat of that tree. It was no temptation. It was God's way of receiving love back. If man would not eat of it, then he's proving his love to God. The only way that you prove your love to God is by acting on his word, obeying his voice. In other words, take charge of this garden. Dress this tree, but don't eat of it. It belongs to me. I bless you with everything. Just this tree belongs to me. And Adam fouled it up and brought death into his life. What did God say to him when he did it? When he broke God's word, God said, now, that's in the third chapter, verse 22, Genesis third chapter, 22nd verse. And the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us. Now, before I read that to you, let me show you something that God said. When you read from the 15th verse, you know, God had asked the man, what did you do? What have you done? He says, the woman that you gave me the fruit to eat, and I did eat. And then he says, woman, what have you done? And she said, well, the serpent deceived me, and I did eat. And God didn't have no dialogue with the serpent. No dialogue with him. And from the 15th verse, now put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, talking to the serpent. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I wish I had time to talk to you about that. Maybe another day. Then 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. That's the beginning of labor. When you hear labor, the woman's in labor. She's about to give birth. She's got labor. That's where it came from. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Man was not made to rule over his wife. This was where it started. She was supposed to be one to help him fulfill God's dream. And next time you hear a man shouting at his wife, shut up! Remember Eve. See, God didn't intend for it to be so. Can you see the trouble there? It's not supposed to be that way. It says, and thy desire shall be thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Can you see it? He broke God's word. He took that which was consecrated. He devoured the holy. Holy means consecrated. That's in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 25. He says, it is a snare to the man who devours that which is consecrated. It is a snare. It's a trap. There's trouble there. That's the tree, again, in the garden of your prosperity. That's the tree, that tithe you're about to eat. That offering you're about to take. It's that consecrated thing in your blessed garden. Don't take it. It's a trap. Well, they took it. And now what happens? Before, see, man didn't have to suffer to eat bread. God put everything there already before man came. His life was a life of rest. God created on the first day. He created on the second day. He created on the third day. Created on the fourth day. Created on the fifth day. Created on the sixth day. That's the day man was created. That's the day he was made. That's the day man came on the scene. He came on the sixth day. He was the last of God's creation. On the seventh day, God didn't have to make nothing because everything was ready. And so on the first day that man would see, God is at rest from creation. God's seventh day is man's first day. God's day of rest is man's first day. Man awakens to a day of rest. His life was to be a life of rest. But now he breaks God's word, and God says, out of your sweat shall you eat bread. Why? The garden is no more yours. If man had known the terrible consequences of his disobedience, he thought it was just a fruit. Just take a little bite. And apologize to God. You know what God saw there? It was a lack of love that God saw. He looked beyond the breaking of the commandment. Because the word that was given to him, if he had obeyed it, it was the proof of his love. God is love. When you wound love, you quench love. And suddenly he pulled out for himself a God of judgment. For love was quenched. A man married a woman and ill-treated her. Every day as he went to work, he would write a list of things for her to do. Before I come back, make sure the kitchen is clean. The bed is dressed. The table is set. The children are washed. The floor is cleaned up. He would write everything. And then on his return, he would ask for the list. And then go through it with her to be sure she's done everything. She was so terrified as she lived with her husband. So terrified. She had to do it because she'd be in trouble if she didn't. Until one day, the man died. Years after, she married another man who loved her. And the house she used to live in with her late husband had become hers. So the new man moved in. After a long while of living with this man who was so loving and kind, one day, as she cleaned up the house, she got close to something she felt in the chair. She wanted to check what it was and try to pull it out. It was a little piece of paper. As she pulled it out and opened it, she found out it was a copy, one of those lists the late husband used to leave for. As she read through, she began to cry. She remembered her late husband and the fear in which she lived all those years. And she thought for a moment, everything in that list she had been doing for this man, this new husband, and the husband never asked for it. She looked at her life. One, she had to do it by force for another. And for this one, she did it for love. You see, God has given us love. And look at this woman. She had love in her. She would do anything. If she were loved, she would do anything. She would sweep up the place. She would clean up the place because of love. But the former husband pulled something else out of her. Love was quenched. He never did get her love. He married the wife, but never had her love. And this other one got her love. Same thing with Christians. He says, to the pure, you will show yourself pure. God will show himself pure to the pure. God will show himself vile to the vile. Study your Bible, Psalm 18. See how he responds to people. Verse 25. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Look at it. This is the psalmist David had found this thing about God. He said, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. See, merciful people find God to be a merciful God. I told you about Saul, why Saul never got mercy from God. Saul was the one who would have killed his son for breaking his own word. He was ready to kill his son. It took the people to deliver his son from his hands. Mr. Perfect, there's no big wonder he never found mercy in the sight of God. When he blew it, God was ready for the showdown. Because that's the way he knew God. That's the way he related to God. God is to you what you see him to be. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, oh boy, that means the shrewd. The shrewd. That's what he's talking about. With the shrewd, the selfish man, the stingy man, thou wilt show thyself stingy. There's no wonder some people have testimonies of great things in their lives. Some others don't have. Every time you listen to someone talking about great things happening in his life, there are those who wonder, where is this God? Someone else says, God talked to me yesterday. He talked to me last night. This morning he spoke to me. Every time, these are folks who hear the voice of God so easily. There's another one who's never heard the voice of God. Why will you hear? To the upright, thou wilt show thyself upright. In other words, to the one who stands on your word, you will show yourself as one who keeps your word. To the stingy, thou wilt show thyself stingy. As you are stingy, then God also who becomes stingy to you. It's so hard for God to release for you. Why would he? Why would he? Looks like that thing is too good for you. You think it's God. No, it's you. God by his word mirrors you. You, by your word, mirror God. Don't forget it. Hallelujah. Now go back to Genesis quickly. Are you there? The Bible tells us in the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter, and the Lord God said, behold, that's Genesis, behold, a man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Oh boy. Oh, what a way to end. What a way to end a life that was so gloriously started. He was God's man. He was king in his own realm. Everything was under him. And the Bible tells us in the cool of the day, God will come in the garden and have fellowship with Adam. What a joy. Just one thing he says, don't take. And the man wouldn't spare it. He has everything. And what will he take more? The one God said he shouldn't take. I wonder what would have happened among the angels that day as man was driven away. The Bible says, so he drove man out. Oh, he must have been stinking to God. He drove him away. Get out, go, leave. You know what it is to drive someone? They cannot leave gently. You are harsh. You are angry. You are loud at the time. Go, leave, quit. And you frown. What a day it must have been in heaven. All the angels would have been quiet. And look at the fierce looking angels that God sent there to make sure man never returned to the garden. The Bible says it's sent the cherubims whose eyes are around their heads. They see in every direction, and when they have to move to any direction, they never have to turn. If they go this way, that's forward. They see that way. If they stop and decide to change, they don't have to turn like a man. They just move. Any direction they see, anywhere is forward to them. Their face is this way, that way, that way, that way. And God put them, several of them, to guard the gate of that garden. How angry God must have been. He didn't put them there to stop a devil from coming in, to stop man. And the Bible says with a flaming sword. There, God must have been angry. Drove man away. What a language. Look at it. So he drove out the man. He drove out the man. Tears came out of my eyes as I studied this. He drove him out. Man that was so loving to him. Man for whom he gave all things. Everything belonged to man. God gave him everything. He was his crowning creation. For one fruit that he didn't even finish. And God cursed the ground. He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. He couldn't curse him. He looked at him, couldn't curse him. So he drove him out. Get out, get out, get out. Leave. Why? That's the way. You see, when love is wounded, you pull out judgment. Love was wounded that day. And you know, God's love is a self-giving love. You couldn't imagine that man would not release just a little of what he gave him. Eat anything. Take anything. It's all yours. Everything that the Bible says, everything God created, he puts under the dominion of man. Then he said, among all this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. And man will take it. That tree is still in the midst of the garden of your finances today. That's the principle. Any time God blesses you, he puts his own inside. And then he says, give it back to me. It's up to you. If you take it, after then, out of your sweat shall you eat bread. Until you discover that that contract did not come because you knew somebody. Until you discover that that business did not come because you knew someone. Until you discover that that job did not come because you knew someone. Out of your sweat now. He says, and thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you. You will work hard. You will work hard. But where do you put it? A bag with holes. Producing thorns. That means you make a bed and you cannot lie on it. You have children. They begin to curse you. What a life. The Bible says he drove out the man. Do you know how many men have been driven away from their gardens today? You don't know.
There's some Christian somewhere who had been a child of God in his secondary school, in his university days, and then became a politician. And God blessed him. And God was saying, now is the time. Now is the time. Speak for me. You're my voice. And suddenly he turned to the people of the world. No more going to church. Became a wine bibber. For some of them, several years ago, God drove them out of the garden. Drove them out. Look at you today. God is testing you. What you have today, think about it. There was a time you did not have it. If it could come, it can come again. But if you stay on it now, oh, if you hang on to it now, you cannot go higher. The Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, he was turned to become their enemy. The children of Israel, the Bible says they vexed his Holy One. They vexed his spirit. The way they acted, God became angry with them. The one who brought them out of Egypt became their enemy. Don't let him become your enemy. When he becomes your enemy, you don't know it. Things just go bad. He never... Listen, look at Samson. When God came into Samson's life, everybody in town knew. Paul said the Spirit of God came mightily upon Samson. Mightily. But when God left him, he did not know. The Bible says Samson said, I will shake myself as at other times. And then he says, and he knew not that the Spirit of God had gone from him. When he leaves, he does not announce it. When he comes, there's a noise. On the day of Pentecost, when he came in, the Bible says, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Everybody will take notice of you that God is with you. Things will begin to happen around you. But when he leaves, your enemy will try you and discover you are naked. Then they discover you did not know. Samson did not know. How many of God's children have let the Spirit move away from them? When you stop being a giver, a reckless giver, God shifts from you. You'll be singing. You'll be dancing. You'll be clapping. You'll be in church. Don't know you. But gradually you discover there's an emptiness in your life. Before long, people who used to like you will begin to frown at you. Everything you do will start having complaints. Before, whatever you did. I remember when I did my last project in school. I'll tell you this. And on the day we were to present the projects to the jury, my design, the model of my design, the model didn't have a roof. I hadn't finished. No roof. The whole ground was flat, bare. I had not done the landscaping. And my supervisor was angry with me. He said, it's your turn, Mr. Religious Man. And I tell you what they did. I was the sixth person to be called. When they called the first five people, they said they had given us an instruction that they'll call you and you enter alone, only you and the jury. I thought, thank God. After the first five people, they asked everybody who could and who cared to come. And the hall did not take everyone. Somewhere at the window, the devil wanted to shame me. But God was ready for a showdown. I didn't know. Tears came out of my eyes as they called me and called everybody to come. They changed the rules. My supervisors were angry. They changed the rules. And I went there. My model was not finished. I said, dear Lord Jesus, you got to help me now. I put the model there, set my papers on the wall. When I did, I had three supervisors. One of them came and said, was this what we told you to do? I said, please, what exactly? Because he said, I put them on the wall wrongly. I said, what should I do? He said, leave me. I said, dear Lord Jesus. Then they came. Yes, and who is this? Take us through your work. And they gave me that rod. I held it. And I started out explaining my design one after the other. And I went all the way to the end and waited for the external examiner to speak. He looked at the design, looked at the model on the ground. No roof. He didn't say anything. He just looked at it and then bent down and hit it twice. Then he said, "Superb." Listen, I'll never forget it. Instantly tears came out of my eyes. I couldn't believe it. The job wasn't completed. At that moment, my dean and head of department had just walked out. So, as entered, the professor said, "I didn't know you had such good architects in your department." And the man said, "And who is that?" And he turned to me and, I wasn't the one he expected. Because in those final years, I was, you know, all out for the Holy Ghost. He looked at me. Oh. And the man said, "Superb." Looked at the job and said, "This is the way to begin a design." And then he took them through the job and he was just, for the next several minutes, he used my job to give an example to others. I couldn't believe it, dear Lord Jesus. You know what I was seeing? I was seeing the love of God. I couldn't believe this. How would you see a design without a roof, no landscaping, and you say superb? He saw it. He hit it twice. That's what God can do for you. When he favors you, hey, glory. Hallelujah. They'll look at your job and they'll say superb. But when his presence goes, your best still stinks. Are you still here? In the Bible, the two things that God said you should not take when he blesses you. Hallelujah. Now, I've shown you the principle. The principle behind the consecrated things of the kingdom. The principle behind. It's all the way from Genesis. Now, when we live here, you will not have finance convention every Sunday or every Wednesday. But you will come to church every week. And it will not be a finance message. Someone's not going to be preaching to you about your money every service day. But what are you going to do? How do you continue? Recognize these two things. One is your first fruit offering. Two, your tithe. There are different kinds of offerings. Among the offerings is one called the first fruit offering. Learn to give your first fruit offering. God says it belongs to him. Your tithe is different from your first fruit offering. Now, the tithe is more popular than the first fruit. But the first fruit was first introduced to us in the Bible before the tithe. The first fruit is introduced to us in Genesis chapter 4 verse 4. And the tithe is introduced to us in Genesis chapter 14 verse 20. The Bible tells us how that Abel brought to God his first fruits, the firstlings. He dealt in dairy famine. He brought to God the firstlings of the flock. When Cain was to bring an offering to God, he did not bring his first fruit to God. He brought his offering. He just took from among them and brought to God. Now, we know that Cain broke the word because the Bible says Abel's sacrifice that was accepted was based on faith. He says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now he says, by faith he did it. If he did it by faith, it means that he must have heard God's word about it. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. So if he did it by faith, he did it based on the word, the message that he was given. But Cain did not act on the word, for his was not by faith. See the difference? Why does God bless you? Not just because you are giving. Some of you would wonder, how come that you've been giving offerings for so long, but you never heard this? That's the reason you did not see such supernatural results, even though God had been blessing you. Because you were giving. I'll show you something here. Now, when you see an elderly person, if you were raised in certain parts of Nigeria, you would bow like this to greet. For the ladies, some of them will go like this to greet. Am I right? Now, that's interesting. That's because you were taught that way. There's a culture from a certain area. You were brought up that way. Some will even go as much as prostrating on the floor to greet. The fact that that man is doing that is not to say he's humble. He was brought up that way. It's come to be a part of him. That a man greets you with his head bowed is not to say he's humble at all. It's just his upbringing that's functioning. But when he comes to see it in the word of God, thou shalt rise before the gray-headed, which means you will give respect to those who are older than you. And then the man begins to give respect because it is in the word of God. God begins to bless him. The first one was the man's human culture, ethnic culture. Man will bless him. But this one is God's culture. God will bless him. See the difference? So you would have been receiving some good results from your giving that was based on your human general upbringing. But when it becomes something that you have received from God's word, an instruction has come to you from God's word, a revelation has come to you from God's word, a new kind of blessing begins. Now it's based on faith. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Have you seen it? Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That is not tithe. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord. That means let him have right. Let him have authority over your substance. Does God have authority over your substance? Or you are the one that has authority over your substance? Your substance, everything you got here in this world. Honor the Lord with your substance. Give him authority over your substance. Let him have the right to tell you give this. Let him have the right to tell you give this. Use this. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The first fruits of all thine increase. What do you mean by first fruits? We'll have to define it with the Bible, all right? But let's see what happens if you do what he said. Verse 10. So shall thy bands be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Glory to God. He says, so shall thy bands be filled with plenty. Look, you would have so much, you'd be amazed how God blesses you. Why? Because you have honored him. Listen, you have come into the kingdom of God. You are no longer of the world. You are no longer of the world. Your savings account can never pay better than God. I can assure you of that. I save. Let me tell you what I do. I save money. My wife and I, we do save. But we have never saved money to use it for anything about us. I believe in saving. But our major idea about saving is to save to get the money to give. That's it. We have never had to save to use the money on personal things. Who save so that God will speak to us and let us know what we're going to do with it. And then we'll release it. That's the idea for saving. I talk to the pastors and I tell them to save. And I tell them why they should save. So that when there is a call to give, you will not be found wanting. So there are seeds you will be sowing, seeds you will be sowing, seeds you will be sowing. And then there will be money you will be saving. Saving what? For the big giving. So I can do big things for God. That's the idea. And the more you do it, the more God blesses you. God's blessing, listen, God's blessing will shock you. You will weep. You will cry. You'll be prostrate on the floor. You will cry. Because you can't believe that someone will do that for you, but God will do it. He will amaze you. You will weep like a baby. Listen, what a man will take years to do. God, in a moment of time, he'll do it for you in the simplest way. But why do many of God's children live the other way? Because they do not know. They do not believe in him. They believe in their ability. I have worked so hard all these years to do this. One day, God will do such a thing that took you years for someone else. When you refuse to do what God tells you to do, he doesn't get mad at you. He will give someone else the same ability. He will never take yours from you. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He will go to someone else, give that person everything that he gave to you, because he has them in abundance. Everything that he gave to you and more. And give that one the advantage. And leave you with your own. But yours will never increase or be refreshed. It will remain there until it is old and ready to be done away. We teach you these things that you may learn to move by the power of the Spirit. So that as God blesses you, you will see the kingdom going forward. Because the kingdom depends on you. It depends on you. It depends on you. Are you still in this place? Good. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Of all thine increase. Some of you have never done that. No wonder there is a hole. A hole in your bag. That's the reason. That's the reason. I believe that one of the things that God does for you after blessing you with something is helping you to keep it. Helping you protect it or to maintain it. He does not give you and leave it to be destroyed. He helps you in protecting it. If you've ever heard of the devourer comes in so many ways. Look at you as you heap up money. Suddenly, they say that the interest rates have changed. Some of them, the exchange rate will take their money. Where do you stand? Aiming to put it into a bag with holes. Because they have not honored him. Exodus chapter 13. Are you there? From verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. I want you to read that together. Come on. Verse 2. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. God said what? It is mine. He didn't say what? Share it with me. He didn't say give to me. He says it is mine. He has laid claims. You say that is the law. Proverbs we were reading just now says first fruits. Is that right? When we get to the New Testament, you will see first fruits. Just relax. You know what I'm giving you? I'm giving you your scriptural basis, your word foundation for acting. Amen. All right. Now, look at verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, that's the womb, And every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. You know what that means? If you're not going to exchange it for money, he says it must not be used. Break his neck. Because it belongs to God and nobody should take it. That's what he's saying. I'll explain that further for you. Verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrificed to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being mirrors. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Now, what is the man saying? Listen. He says, everything that is firstborn belongs to me. That's what God has said. Now, there were certain animals that God said were unclean animals. And they should not be brought to God. He says, the firstborn of such animals you will redeem. Now, he will teach us later about what that redemption was. It meant that you would get the value in monetary terms and take that money and give it in the place of that animal. That's what it meant by redemption there. Praise God. Now, he says, when your children ask you in time to come, why do you do this? Why do you give your first fruit? He says, you will tell them that you used to be a slave in Egypt. And God brought you out. He says, when Pharaoh would not let you go, God said to Pharaoh, you have my firstborn. You're keeping my firstborn. Therefore, I'm going to kill your firstborn. Do you know what that means? God will go after his firstfruit anywhere. Don't keep it, brothers. Don't keep it, sisters. He'll go for it. He says, it is mine. If you keep it, he'll go for it. A dear pastor was asked how many members he had in his church many years ago. He said, 150 members. And then they asked him, so how many of them are tithers? He said, 150 of them. Boy, you have 150 members and all 150 are tithers? He said, emphatically, yes. He said, but the trouble is this. Some of them bring their tithes. God collects it from the others. All right, you get the point. So those who wouldn't bring it, he says, God will collect it somehow. Because they are all supposed to be tithers. So you are a tither. Now that you are in the kingdom of God, you are a tither. Whether or not you know it. If God doesn't get it, something else will get it. In other words, God will get it one way or another. He'll get it, surely. Either you bring it or he'll collect it. Praise the Lord. So you look at that. And he lets us know that when Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, God said to Pharaoh, you got my firstborn. Let my firstborn go. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 17. Let me show it to you. It's right there. Now, 16. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you realize that when you give your first fruit unto God, then the devil can touch it and no one can touch it? What does that mean? It's not the first fruit that you give that no one can touch now. No, there's a power about it. When you give your first fruit to God, the rest of it, God watches over it. Can I show that to you? You want to see it? Turn to the New Testament. Isn't it wonderful? Now we can see it in the New Testament. Somebody said, well, I don't think that thing's in the New Testament. It's right in the New Testament. Book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans, chapter 11. Have you seen it? Verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, if the first fruit be consecrated, if the first fruit be separated, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. If you take away the first fruit and give it to God, he says, as far as he's concerned, the rest of it is consecrated. So God watches over the rest of it for you. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If you consecrate the first fruit unto God, the lump is consecrated. Why do Christians lose so much? Because they have not known this principle. They have not known the principle. What's the difference between the first fruit and the tithe? Can I show that to you? All right. Exodus. Or first, let's go to Leviticus. It's, you'll find that in Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. How many of you are looking into the scriptures as we are sharing this? Can I see your hand up? Let me see your hand. Good. Thank you. You know, for many, many people, all their life, they never heard of first fruit. They only heard of tithe. Am I right? But the first fruit was revealed first, before the tithe. Why is it not popular? Because many thought that the tithe and the first fruit were the same. That's the reason. In fact, I've been in places where in teaching about tithing, they read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, where we read. But they're not the same. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 27. And I am reading from verse 26. Only the firstling of the beasts, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it. Whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. It belongs to God. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Was he talking about? The first fruit. First fruit, or firstling, if it refers to animals. Did you notice something about the redemption there? He says, when you have to redeem it, when you have to redeem a firstling, he says, find out how much it is, how much it's worth, and then add to it, to that amount, 20%. That's the fifth part. 20%. Add it to it, and then give it. Have you heard that before? You've not heard it before, but it's in your book. Didn't you read the same thing with me? He says, when you... Come on, go back. Verse 27. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. You get it? The fifth part. What is fifth part? 20%. Let's go on. It'll get clearer. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Hey, you know what he's telling you? When you say, I'm giving this thing to God, he says it's not yours to go and sell it after you have given it to God. It is not your job to go and sell it after you've given it to God. But if you say you want to give God, see, sometimes we decide what we want to give to God. I might say, all right, I want to give God 500 naira. And this chair would cost that much. So I go and maybe sell it and get my 500 naira because that's what I want to give to God. But if there's something that I want to give to God, then I give that thing to Him. Because I've consecrated that particular thing to God. In the same way, if you have an offering and you say, I want to give this thing to God, it's 500 naira. Don't go and use it to say, all right, I would rather use it to buy something and give to God. It says, anything, what you have consecrated for God, let it be the thing you have consecrated to God. Now, when that thing gets to the house of God, In the house of God, it shall be determined what should be done to it. You know what God's doing for His children there? He's trying to get their understanding to one point, that God reserves the right to decide what He does with what He's given. You know, sometimes some people want to give their tithes and they say, well, the church needs funds. So they use their tithes to purchase funds and give. Don't use your tithes to purchase funds for the church. Except if your tithes were in the funds. Then you take the funds which were your tithes, because you did not redeem them with money. Are you following? Do you understand it? Because your tithe could be in kind. So if your tithe is in kind, then he says, don't sell it and give it to God. But if you will sell it to bring it to God, he says you will add 20% to the amount. God is smarter than man. Are you seeing it? So if you were going to give God a car, for example, and you said, okay, let me go and sell it myself, and you have sold it, and you want to take the money to God, he says, that means you have redeemed it. Now, in redeeming it, he says, add 20% of the money to it before you give it. Then it shall be accepted from you. Now, look at it. It's here. Let's go back. Can we read it? You want to read it again? And you're free to go back home and meditate. You have a Bible. Verse 26 again. Only the firstling of the beast which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Look at the tithes. Verse 30. And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. That means consecrated unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught, that means any of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Have you seen it now? If your tithe is in kind and you want to redeem it, he says you add to the value 20%. Verse 32. Now, that's the same thing with the first thing so far. With the first thing, the first fruit so far. Now we'll come to verse 32. And concerning the tithe, here is the major difference. You're going to see it now. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. The tenth. Did you see that? Whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad. Neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. All right. I don't know if you caught that, but let me explain it to you. He says, the first fruit is the first and the best. The tithe is the tenth. He says, whatsoever passeth under the rod. Now, usually they will pass these animals under the rod or under the man's hand as he lifted it. One, two, three, and they'll pass them under. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and the rod comes down. The tenth one is God's. He says he shall not search whether it is good or bad. The tenth one belongs to God. Now, if it is bad, then he will change it. But how will he change it? He will take another one in its place. But both the bad one and the new one for with which it is being changed will be given to God. Because the tenth one is for God. That's the tithe. For the first fruit, the best is for God. When you harvest your crop, he says, according to your estimation, it's up to you to decide how much of it is your what's the value? He says, the best of it. Who would read that more? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 18. Book of Numbers. Look at the best. He says, take the best of it. The best is your first fruit. Listen, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also what? Holy. If you give to God anything less than your best, you have not treated Him as God. There are general offerings that people give. They are called free will offerings. That is what most of you have done all your life. Free will offerings. You're in church Wednesday, you're in church Sunday, and the offering man comes with the bag, and you put your hand in your pocket and bring out whatever you want. That's the free will offering. There is the tithe. It belongs to God. There is the first fruit. It belongs to God. And many of God's children have been feeding on their tithe and the first fruit. They never knew enough to give it. Now that you have received knowledge, you become guilty if you do not do it. You say, but what about when I didn't know? You were still guilty. And before you were afflicted, you went astray. I'm now showing you why you have not gone to where you should have gone. Hallelujah. Now take these things very, very seriously. Very important. Numbers chapter 18. You see, these are the things you're going to be doing. You get it? Yes. You have to do them. Continually too. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. And thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. In other words, God said to Aaron, you will be responsible for whatever happens in the sanctuary. You will be responsible. I hold you responsible. You and your sons. I hold you responsible. Let's read on. Verse 5. And you shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no rot anymore upon the children of Israel. It's so important that the ministers of God take their work seriously, wisely. Because God's people can get into trouble for this. That's what he's saying. Verse 6, and I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel to you, and they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift. Listen, that's so important. He says, I have given you the service, the office of priest. The office is a gift. We talk about ministry gifts. Bible says that he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In the church in the New Testament, you would find that these offices are still existing in the church today. And then in the Old Testament, he did tell them not to offer their offerings everywhere. You know why? Because the heathen did it. They would go to a road junction and put an offering there, put a sacrifice there. Go somewhere else, maybe under a tree, put the sacrifice there. And God said, don't do it. He said, you will take it to the place of the congregation. Take it there. And then he says, and you give it to the priests that shall be in those days. That's what he said. Don't give your offering to the gate man. Don't give it at the reception. Deliver it to the minister. When you come to church, don't give your offering to an usher. It's wrong. Don't give your tithe to an usher and say, please take this and give it to so and so. You don't know what you would miss. See to it that you take it to where it should go. I'll show you why from the Bible in a moment. It's wrong for you to just give it to somebody, anyone, and say, please, put this one over there for me. Some people even sit down and tell their son, go and put this one on the altar. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings, of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. Do you get the idea? See why God said, take it to the priest. He says, because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. That's the reason you take it there. So that the anointing will be connected to your seed. So that the anointing will be connected to your offering. That's the reason he says, take it there. He turns to Aaron. He says, Aaron, I want you to know why I'm bringing these things to you. I have anointed you to be priest. You carry my presence. My word is in you. And now I tell my people to bring the offerings to you so that you can connect them to the anointing by their offerings. How many of God's people are disengaged from the anointing today? You connect to the anointing through your offering. And you keep it that way through your offering. It's here in the word. He told Aaron, the reason I'm bringing it to you. He let Aaron know. Because Aaron could say, I don't need this. It has nothing to do with whether the minister needs it. You know, I have received a lot of things from people. Lots of them I may never use. But God brings this word to my mind. I don't give it to you because you need it. I don't bring it to you because you're asking for it. I bring it to you because of the anointing connection. That my people can be connected to that anointing. So when I see it, I've got to receive it. The times you find someone bringing the very last of what is God's. Mentally, I would feel like, oh, take it back. Why should I take it from you? This is all you got. But then I remember, it's got nothing to do with me. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. Look at Elijah. Study it in the Bible. Elijah, God says, Elijah, now there's famine everywhere. I want you to go to a woman. I've commanded a widow woman to feed you. And Zarephath. And Elijah the prophet goes. He gets there. You would have thought the woman's a big woman. You would have thought she's a big business woman. Whom God commanded to feed Elijah. When Elijah got close to her, she was gathering sticks. And the Lord said, that's the woman. And Elijah said, hello woman. Can I have some water to drink? And she said, alright, I'll get it for you. And she quickly hurried in trying to get water. But as she was going, he said, and please get me some food too. And then the woman stopped and said, I, oh man of God, I got just a little left that I want to fix for myself and for my son. And after eating that, we will die. That's all we got. Elijah said, nay, woman, get for me first. Talking about the anointing connection. See, to the natural mind, Elijah was wicked. To the natural mind, Elijah was a heartless prophet. These people have the last thing, just as all they got. And after eating that, they'll die. Now you said they should make for you first. And after that, they make for themselves. The prophet said, nay, make for me first. That's the first fruit. This is all you got. Get me mine first. Why? The prophet's here to connect it with the anointing. He says, for thus, my. That's what the man of God's got, the word of God in his mouth. For thus saith the Lord, it will not finish until the day that God sends rain. Get it to me first. And she got it and ate the remnant. And the Bible says, she lacked nothing. She kept on having until the day that God sent rain. What are you waiting for? That's what it's all about. Look at many people today who are doing beautiful things in life. Those whose lives are balanced, even in the government. Those who are walking right today. Many of them, their mothers in the village years ago. Probably that woman that knew the pastor, the village pastor's house, and will carry yam to Mr. Pastor, is her son today that is a disciplined person in town. And those who neglected the man of God in that little old village, their sons are drug addicts, wayward, thieves, all kinds of things. But that woman didn't know that when she connected something to that prophet many years ago, she was setting herself up for God's best. They thought she was a fool. There will be little food in the house. And yet she'll remember, Brother Pastor, she said, send this food to a pastor over there. They'll take it there. She was connecting herself to the anointing. Some of you grandmothers know what I'm talking about. That anointing is still present today. It's still working today. Still working today. Verse 12. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given unto these, talking to the priest. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land. See, we're talking about first fruits. It tells you all the best. See, the oil cannot have, you can't say it produced first fruits. He says, take the best of your oil. Take the best of the wheat. The best of it is the first fruits. You have harvested yam. Take the best of it. In those days, there were farmers. So he's talking in the language that farmers could understand. Today, you may not have a farm. But there is another kind of farm. What do you deal with? What does God bless you with? His first fruit is still with you. His tithe is still with you. What are you going to do with it? When you take out, you see, when you take out, as God has blessed you, take out the best of it. And say, this is God's. This is God's. This is God's. Take the best and give it to Him. For your tithe, one tenth of it. He says, of all thine increase, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Every time there's an increase, look out the best and take it out for God. Thank you, Jesus. This is yours. Hallelujah. This is yours. It's the best of it. This time around. From among all these ones, is the best. So, you have removed the first fruits from here. You have removed the tithe. Tithe is one tenth. Next, when you maybe you just got a new job, the first salary you get belongs to God. That's your first fruit on your job. That's the first yield from your job, the first produce from your job. You're not a farmer now. You've just been promoted. The first pay belongs to God. See the difference? There are people, listen, there are people who are doing this and enjoying it and their life just going like this, just like this. While you have others still wondering and calculating, the Japanese calculator is ruling their lives. If God should become a calculator to you, how will you be blessed? He says, to the shrewd, to the stingy, to the calculator, God will show Himself stingy, shrewd, calculative. But to the open-minded, God will bless you recklessly. He wouldn't hold back. Nothing is too good for you. People can't understand why anything like this can come to you. Oh. Look at the doors that God is opening for us in the ministry. It's unprecedented. You know, a lot of people wonder, who are those who are connected to, that we are connecting? You know, maybe call them on phone and then get us onto this and get us into that, hook us up with this or that. There's nothing like that. No. You know what God said to me? When I was wondering, who should I call? Do we have to connect to so and so? God said, no. He said, they will get to you. He said, all you need is the Spirit. And that's who I have. And I'm supposed to play along with this. When he talks about first fruit, getting on it. Tithing, getting on it. See, seed faith, getting on it. Just keep walking on it. Hallelujah. Reckless giver. Think about thinking millions by giving in millions and see God blessing you. See, I started attracting millions as I gave God millions. You know, the devil will tell you, you'll run dry if you do this. Do you know how long it took you to get this? If you do this now, think how long it's going to take you to get it again. But my God is wiser than men. No, we're not fools. There are ministries abroad that I'm seeding with money in dollars. I'm serious. My most regular giving is not for something private. I'm talking about a different ministry abroad. Why? Because while I'm doing everything I can in this ministry, there's another ministry that maybe I believe in what they're doing. So I got to see it so that through them I have a voice. The Bible says about Abel, him being dead yet speaketh. So I may be here in Nigeria, but I'm speaking in some other nation right now. I'm speaking through another man. I'm speaking in Nigeria through another man. I'm speaking through the TV, through a lot of you here. But see, ministry is going on in different lands. And I'm involved. Why should another ministry be drying out while I'm here? If I believe in it. Why should he die? If I believe in it. Boy, that's why I'm big. I'm big for God. I'm big for God. I may be small to men, yes. But in the kingdom, I'm big. Why? Because I like to do big things for God. Listen, we haven't even started in our ministry. We haven't even started. I'm telling you, have you heard us organizing first year anniversary? Because we haven't started. When it's time for our first year anniversary, I'll tell you. We haven't started. But the doors that God is opening everywhere, it's amazing. I'm telling you. We have churches in Brussels. We have churches in the Netherlands. We have churches in Spain. What are you talking about? We have in America, Canada, South Africa. And you know something? Several of them just took off like that. I only heard by telephone. We are here. The one on television is most amazing. I just hear that another station has been taken over by the Holy Ghost. I just hear. You know, we're on air in my degree now. I know them MS are going to be sneaking to watch Atmosphere for Miracles. I know. Those MS with their turbans around their heads, they will sneak to watch Atmosphere for Miracles. I know the watchers at Acid Rock. I know. They don't have to tell me. I know. We've gotten a call from there before. I know. The watchers. An Atmosphere for Miracles. You know what God is doing? I see money coming in millions of naira, dollars, pounds. I see. Why? Because God is causing the gospel to move forward. And I believe you're a part of it. That's why we're here. I believe you're a part of it. See, the dreams we had many years ago have come to pass. We dreamt that we would preach for God. I remember uncompleted buildings. I would go there, preaching there, shouting in other tongues, in bush paths, in farms. We've been in many places to pray and fast. Praying that God would help us so that we can preach the gospel. I went to villages to preach. I went to schools to preach. And then gradually, moving from the restaurants to the classrooms, to school halls, to school fields. Now we're using the stadia of the world. Plus that, we're taking nations on TV, on the internet, from any nation, you can receive us. What are we doing? Putting money in. Putting money in. If I wanted to be popular, if that was why we're holding these programs, I would travel to many of these countries. For several of them, I did not go there. I have invitations that I have not honored. It's not to move around. It's not to become popular. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me give you this lastly. Ezekiel chapter 44. Are you there? Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 30. Are you there? Let me hear an enthusiastic yes if you are. Thank you. And the first of all the first fruits of all things. What does it mean? The best of all the first fruits of all things. Did you hear that? The best of all. Oh, when you want to give God your first fruit, give Him the best. He says, the best of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest's. He says, give it to the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. Oh! Look at it. Did he say that God may cause the blessing to rest in your house? It's a priest's job. See, your prosperity is in the hand of your man of God. That's where it is. Israel's prosperity was in the hand of their priest or prophet. Look at it. When there was famine in the land, and the people cried to the king said, how can I help you? Why? He says, from where? Who did he call on? The prophets. He said, Elijah will pay for this. And he went after Elijah. And then Elijah said, the economy of the nation will change in 24 hours. And it did. Read your Bible. It was the prophet that was held responsible for the prosperity of God's people. It's the same story today. Your prosperity is in the hand of your man of God. In many churches, the pastor, the minister, they try to frustrate him to make sure he doesn't have the money. Let me tell you, if you were rich, you become poor by the poverty of your man of God. As long as the kingdom cannot expand by reason of the frustration of your man of God, you will not move forward. Your man of God is ahead of you, for he has the revelation. If he moves, you move. If he moves, you move. If he moves, you move. If he's frustrated, you will become frustrated. It's just a matter of time. Any church where they run the man of God, run him, run him, run him, run him, run him. Such a church cannot do the things of Jesus Christ. They cannot have the revelation of God's word. Because the number one giver in the kingdom of God should be God's man. He should give to the things of God. But if there is nothing, we're printing books, releasing tapes. While we're preaching here, we're rolling out tapes. All this costs money. And you are sitting. What do you want to do with your life? Get yourself enlisted in God's number one job. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The sacrifices of God are broken on a contrite heart. When you give your offering to God, Let it get to your heart. Let it touch you deeply. Yes, God cannot do without you. Never forget it. If you are a great giver in the kingdom of God, He cannot do without you. He always needs you. He always needs you. And every time He creates an opportunity, it's you He will put there. It's you. Praise the Lord. It's time to look up to Him now. Are you ready? You ready to talk to Him? Yes. Yes. Lift your hands toward Him. Worship Him. Pray. Open your mouth and talk to God.